Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 304, Death to Self, A Lesson in Obedience. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, February 26th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise the Lord. God is good. All the time. God is good. Okay. I'm just going to jump right in. I forgot my jokes today. I was going to bring some jokes, and I forgot them. So next time. And I forgot my phone, so I couldn't even look them up. It's okay. We're going to laugh. We're going to have fun. It's okay to laugh in church. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and He is here. His presence is here. Yeah, let's just invite Him in to our heart. Let's just open in prayer. We don't need jokes. We can just ask Him to come and make our hearts glad, right? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We invite you, Holy Spirit. Just open up your heart where you are there and just invite Him to speak to your heart today. Just invite Him to just feed you. Father, we come to you hungry today. We want our daily bread. We want our daily bread from you, the Word. Thank you, Father. It's your word, the imperishable seed that never fails. Thank you, Lord. We put all distractions aside right now in Jesus' name. We lay our cares and our concerns and our fears and our worries at your feet, Jesus, and we submit ourselves to you. We open wide the doors of our heart. Come and change our hearts, change our lives with your word. Renew our minds. Father, we renew our minds as we read the word. We let it sink deep. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, despite or even with the words that I'm speaking, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak your message to each of our hearts, because you're an individual, unique God that meets each of our needs and speaks to each of our hearts. We love you and we adore you and we need you today. So we bless your holy name. Let my words be pleasing to you, Lord God, and take them and just minister life. I declare the life of Jesus coming out from my words and from the word of God today in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Okay. So we are the people of God, right? Amen. Yes. And we're called to worship Him by radically following God's instructions. In order to do the will of God, there were so many men and women in the Bible that we can read about that radically laid their lives down, submitted, died to themselves, submitted their own understanding and other obstacles so that they could follow God's plan and His instructions to them. You can think of many, right? Many that did that. And there's also stories in the Bible of people that were unwilling or struggled. I think of, you know, Jonah in the belly of the stinky fish. You know, he struggled, right? And some were even unwilling and said, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna lay down myself and my own logic, my own reasoning, my own understanding to follow what you're telling me to do, God. So obedience to God's plan leads to amazing breakthroughs that are essential for us as the church as we usher in these last days. God wants to pour out His Spirit, and He has an amazing plan to do that. But He needs you and me to be submitted, fully surrendered, so that He can accomplish what He wants. He wants to use you. It's a privilege and a pleasure, right? So many times, you know, I don't know if this happens to you, but, you know, when we hear a testimony, we get so excited, as we should, to hear the victory story, to hear the breakthrough, the wahoo story that happens, right? How God moved in an amazing way on behalf of a person. But do you ever think about or hear or listen for And maybe sometimes we leave this part out of the story of where the person had to decide if they were going to, who they were going to listen to. Were they going to listen to their own reasoning and understanding, or were they going to listen and obey and submit to what God was telling them to do in order to get the breakthrough? Because probably there isn't a breakthrough, there isn't a, you know, a testimony if there's not some dying to self to get to that place. Because God's plans are higher, God's ways are higher, and he knows how to do it, and he lays out the plan for us. We all have a choice to make. Who am I going to listen to? And there's a struggling sometimes. Sometimes it's quick, and sometimes there's more of a wrestling match going on, right? You know what I'm talking about? Or is it just me that happens? The wrestling, right? Like, really, God? You know, like Sister Ellie just shared, don't you see my bank account? Like, what are you talking about? Give that much. Don't you see my bank account? Right? But we have a choice to make. So in some cases, I would say the difference between having a powerful testimony and not having one at all is obedience. Ooh, think about that. It's your obedience to obey in order to get to the breakthrough that he wants to get that breakthrough to you. He wants to get healing to you. He wants to get restoration to you. Are you willing to follow his plan and his instruction step by step, even if it doesn't make sense to you? Right? Disobedience is a showstopper. Help us, Lord. Number one, you know, did you hear what God instructed you to do? We've got to hear his voice. We've got to hear the instruction, right? That's number one. Did you hear what he told you to do? And number two, did you do it? You know, sometimes people say, I feel like I'm not hearing God speak to me anymore. Well, did you, you know, some, you know, where along the line, maybe you stopped doing what he told you. So it's good to do a little check if that's happening to you of, you know, what's the last thing that I obeyed? Like, back up to that point. If he's given you an instruction and you didn't do it, go back to that place and make it right and repent for not obeying and then do it. Right? Sensitivity to hear God's voice is key in obedience. How can we obey if we don't know what he wants us to do, right? John 8, verse 47, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says to them, anyone who belongs, this is John 8, 47, anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen, he's addressing the Pharisees, you don't listen because you don't belong to God. Ooh, he's calling them out, isn't he? You pretend to worship God, you pretend to, you know, honor him and all these things, but you don't really belong to him, and therefore you're not listening to him. So when I read this, I realized he's saying listening to and following the words of God, those are characteristics of a person who belongs to God, right? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. So listening to and following the words of God is key. Those are key characteristic traits of somebody who belongs to God. And we call, here in this church, right? What do we call somebody who belongs to God? A disciple, right? Or somebody who is following Jesus, somebody who's transformed by Jesus, and somebody who is on mission with Jesus. So a disciple of Jesus should be listening to and following, because we belong to him, following his words and what his instructions to us. So this is the why. I want to give you the why. Why should you listen to what I'm saying today? Why should you listen to this message and pay attention? Because God wants to do amazing things. We're seeing signs, right? We're seeing it. There's an outpouring happening of his spirit. Isn't it exciting? It's exciting. I'm excited. He wants to do amazing things through you, through me, through us corporately as the body of Christ in these last days. He's got a perfect plan. I'm excited to tell me what it is. Give me a little part of it, God. Okay, what's next, right? And he's got a personal plan for your personal breakthrough, not just in the last days, but he cares about you. He cares about your family. He cares about what's happening in your body. He wants to get, like I said, he wants to get that healing to you. He wants to get that reconciliation going in your home, in your family, right? So he's got the plan for your personal breakthrough and for the amazing last days time that we're living in. He wants to weave you into that story that he's authoring, right? In the time of history that we're living. And he wants to give you his divine direction to walk out the victory. Pastor Harley had a message. I went back to this, my notes on this message. It was, I don't know the title of it, but it was, you can write this down, go back on the podcast or on the YouTube or Facebook. It was July 1st, 2021. And he said, divine direction is just one instruction away. And some of his points he talked about, be willing to step out for that one divine direction to carry it out. And he said, quote, why should God do anything for you if you don't step out in the one direction that he gives you? Right? Get his instruction by seeking your own word in the Bible. Get into his word. What's your instruction for me? What's your rhema word for me? What are you saying to me, Lord? What's your instruction? Get it into your heart, like we talk about a lot. Get that into your heart. Meditate on it. Let it go down deep, not just up here in your head, and it will change your life. So that's the why, because that's why you should listen, because he wants to get you victory and he wants to use you, weaving you into the story, that the amazing story of what he's doing in this day and age. You were born for such a time as this. Are we willing to lay down our lives? And if that intimidates, just one step at a time, just one divine direction at a time, one divine whisper that he says, just do that thing. Don't be overwhelmed by the, I gotta lay down my whole life. Well, yeah, you do, but just do one thing at a time, okay? Does that help anybody? So, and I just wanted to give some encouragement for those who feel maybe new to hearing God's voice or insecure about hearing God's voice. Or anyone that struggles with this lie, God brought me out of this lie that I can't hear God's voice. And let me just say a few things to you, if that's you. Stop declaring the lie. Stop saying, I can't hear God's voice. You can hear God's voice. You just need to learn. It's like a muscle. You just need to exercise it and let it get stronger, right? Reach out to the Holy Spirit and tell him, I want to hear your voice. Teach me. He's your teacher, right? He's there. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside of you to teach you all things. So if you're having difficulty hearing his voice, ask him to help you. Ask him to help you. Here's another thing that helped me. Do not compare yourself to others. When others say, the Lord spoke to me and said, I would always be like, oh my gosh, he's not speaking to me. Well, he was. It just maybe wasn't so grandiose, or like I maybe wouldn't phrase it like the Lord spoke to me and said, you know. So don't compare yourself. Don't worry about what other people. Praise God that he spoke to you. And if you feel like jealousy about that, when other people are saying, the Lord spoke to me and I had a dream and all this, go home and turn that jealousy into hunger. Cast it out. Lay hands on yourself. That helps too. And then say, God, I want to hear your voice like that. Turn it into you seeking God, you going after God. Don't compare yourself. Don't have a pity party. Just go after God. Because he will speak to hungry hearts, those that are open, those that are making a way. And don't tell me I can't hear his voice if you're never in his word. I knew I should have brought up my Bible because I like to, like, you know, hold this up and touch this and say, this. He never speaks to me. Do you ever read the Bible? Well, no. Well, well, are you just expecting it to just, I mean, knock you upside the head like a neon light or something? Read his word. He's speaking to you. And he wants to make it personal to you. And he will. Get into his word. Study it. Meditate on it. Ask him to speak to you. So, okay, I think I said enough about that. Oh, one other thing. So ask him to teach you to hear his voice. And when you have a sense of something, maybe you're not like so sure, a sense or a prompting, just yield to it. Yield to it. You're learning, right? And even if it's a mistake, he'll cover you. He'll cover your mistake. It's okay. It's all right. It's like a little baby, you know, toddler learning how to walk. They make a step and they fall down and they're wobbly and they fall right down. They get up, try again, do it again, practice again. But when you have a sense or an urge, sometimes there's like this pressure. That's what I would do to myself because I'd hear, you know, in YWAM, all these people saying all this stuff about miraculous things that God spoke. And I'm like, I don't know what he's saying to me. Well, I did. I was hearing, but I just wasn't secure in it, right? And so, you know, when leaders would help me, well, what are you just most drawn to? Like in making a decision. I remember a crisis about, you know, we had to pray about which outreach team. They told us, you know, these are the different leader, you know, different leaders, different teams are going for outreaches to this country, and to this country. We want you to pray, you know, you got a day, 2 days, whatever, and then you got write it down and submit that to us. And I was in crisis. I'd be in crisis every time because I was like, I can't hear God's voice. I don't know. And I, like, seriously, my friend and I laugh about it now. She's like, you were really in crisis. I was like, yes, I was. But God was confronting me in this thing, this problem of this lie that I believed that I couldn't hear his voice. So anyway, so I remember a leader sat me down and was like, so which of those nations just are, you know, like stand out to you? Like that you're just kind of curious about? And I said, well, I'm trying to remember the choices were like Bolivia, Latvia, and somewhere else, other places in Argentina. And I was like, well, Latvia really is interesting to me, and I, you know, I'm kind of drawn to that. And we had Latvian people in our school, counseling school, and so I was learning some of the phrases, and you know, I was kind of drawn to that. But I didn't equate that to hearing God's voice. But my leader just helped me. Well, go with that, yield to that, right? Yield to that, and I did, and it was awesome. And I was supposed to be there. I was supposed to be on that team. Praise God. And so each time you do that, you'll get stronger. You know, step out in it. If it was wrong, God covered me, and I had a, you know, I would have a, he would just make it right. It would be okay, right? He'll help you. So, okay, let's move on. Obedience is a form of worship. Did you ever think about that? That is huge. Obedience is a way that we lay down, you know, ourselves and say, God, you know better than me. I'm going to worship you, even though this is scary to me, what you're telling me to do, or, you know, there's something, my reputation is on the line, or whatever obstacles, and we're going to talk about some of the obstacles that we have to overcome in order to obey. It's laying that down and saying, God, you know best. I trust you. I'm going to worship you with this act of obedience, right? Okay, so obedience requires us to overcome obstacles. And there could be many more. I chose a few to focus on that try to stop us from doing God's will, right? So one of those is our understanding. Our understanding, like our reasoning, our logic, we must decide in a current, you know, circumstance or situation, who will call the shots? Who is Lord in this situation? Whose voice will I follow, the Lord's or my own? We all know Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, right? Trust in who? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, right? Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you with which path to take. I love that. I can stand on that. That's a good, if you're struggling about hearing his voice, seek his, stand on that word. Seek his will in all you do. He will show you. It says he will show you which path to take. He showed me, go to Latvia. Okay, praise God I did. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom, it goes on to say in verse 6. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body. Say what? Does your Bible say that? Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Well, let me obey the Lord then, because I'm believing for healing, right? Do you remember when Pastor Keith Taylor came and shared with us and preached the word last year, and he talked about this. He used this verse, and he talked about, you know, trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding. And he taught us the word. Does anyone, it stuck with me. Anyone know what that Hebrew, I believe it, this Hebrew word, it's bana. Your bana. Do not trust in your own bana. It's your fleshly discernment. It's just what you see, what you can reason, what you can put together, like with your own logic, your fleshly discernment. That bana needs to be submitted to God. That's what this verse is telling us, right? It's saying, don't depend on that fleshly, stinky discernment. God's wisdom is much better than that. The Bible is full of people who submitted their bana, that reasoning, to the Lord, and now we read of their amazing miracle, their victory, their breakthrough, right? Because they obeyed the Lord. And don't you ever think, wow, praise God, like, that we get to see the end of the story? When you're living your trial or something, and you're in the middle of it, it's like, can we just get to the victory part? Can we just get to the breakthrough? And we get to read and hear, you know, it's over. But when you're in it, it's a little different, right? There's also stories, like we said, there's stories also of disobedience, of people that didn't overcome that, and that's sad. We, as the body of Christ, as followers of Jesus, we want to be people who submit our bana, our understanding, and we overcome those obstacles so that we can do his will, and we can see his glory here on the earth, right? Are you with me? Yes. Amen. Okay. So, another significant obstacle for overcoming, that we need to overcome in order to submit and obey the Lord, is pride. So if you're taking notes, this is a big one, pride. And this does have to do with our understanding also. They kind of go together. But pride is any feeling of putting yourself either above or below God's truth of who you are. Sometimes we only think about pride as like the puffed up pride, like the egotistical person that walks around, I'm the best, I'm finer than a, I don't know what, I can't think of anything. But you know, like, I've got all the answers, I'm Susie Know-It-All, and you know, this puffed up thing, pride. But pride also can be, well, I'm just a nobody. I'm a poor, miserable sinner. I just don't know anything. And, you know, it's like the rejection side of pride. But that is also pride, because you're not in God's truth, what he says about you. So we don't need to be puffed up, because, you know, nobody's greater than him. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And you're not poor, miserable sinner, right? And need to be like insecure and hiding and feeling inferior to others. So let's talk about some examples of somebody who in the Bible that we can see that, in this case, it's that had to deal with this puffed up kind of pride. Naaman almost missed his miracle due to pride, right? You know, we're going to look at the story. So Naaman was a commander. While I'm giving you the backdrop here, you can turn to 2 Kings 5. So Naaman was a commander of the army of Aram, right? But he had leprosy. And with the help of a Jewish slave girl, Naaman was sent to be healed of the king of Israel, right? He wrote a letter and sent him there kind of like with a reference note, like he wants to be healed, right? And the king of Israel, when he got this letter, he was distressed, like he tore his robes, it says. And so Elijah caught wind of this and told the king of Israel, send Naaman to me. He said, send Naaman to me, right? And so that's where we're going to pick up and look at this story. 2 Kings 5, we'll start at 9 to 14. It says, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with his message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. That was the instruction, right? That was the plan right there. Very simple. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. Oh boy. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Pharpar better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. Wow. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you certainly should obey him when he says simply, go wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Praise the Lord. So the end of the story turned out good. He got his miracle. He almost missed it, didn't he? Whoo, boy. His anger, he walked away in a rage, it says. That's pride. He had a certain paradigm, a certain expectation that the prophet of God would come out and wave his hand over the leprosy and all this like grandiose thing. He thought he knew better how he should be healed than how God wanted to give it to him. We better watch ourselves. God knows, and it may seem really simple. Like God's voice sometimes comes, it's, you know, in the scripture that says it's a still quiet voice. Like me with the Latvian example, it was just a still quiet voice, right? But don't miss it thinking that, well, it can't be that. That's just so simple. Well, sometimes it is simple. We complicate it. And don't think that you know better. If it doesn't fit into your expectation or your paradigm, well, it can't be God then. Well, maybe you're going to miss out on what he's trying to get to you. Let's not be a stiff-necked people, right? Let's not be, let's not let pride keep us from our miracle. No limits. Take the limits off. Lord, I give you my bana. I give you my understanding, right? I submit it to you. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, my thoughts, this is the Lord speaking, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. Well, praise God. That just relieves me right there. Because I know what my thoughts are like sometimes, right? My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Praise the Lord that his ways are higher than my ways, and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. That should bring peace, right? But let's submit ourselves. We could say, yeah, your thoughts are way better. But God, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. I receive your healing. And so he says, go, you know, go do this. Go dip in the river. Go wash yourself seven times. And no, it can be like that. Well, maybe it is, right? So let's take the limits off our thoughts. Okay, so that's pride. That's a huge obstacle. Another one is fear of man. The fear of man is caring more about what others think of you than what God says or thinks. Oh boy, this is a big one also. This is a showstopper. Well, what are they going to think? What are they going to say about me? So we're going to start with an example of somebody who did not overcome, poor guy, he did not overcome the fear of man, and that is Saul. So in 1 Samuel 15, let me lay the backdrop, and you can turn there, because we're going to look specifically at a piece of this story. But in 1 Samuel 15, so the Lord gives instructions, right, to King Saul through Samuel. Well, Samuel was to anoint Saul as king, right? And so then the Lord gives instructions to King Saul to kill the entire Amalekite nation. Wipe them out. Because he was dealing with how they treated the Israel nation, right? The Israel people. So he said, wipe them out entirely, including children, livestock, everyone. So Saul and his men, they slaughtered the Amalekites, but they spared King Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and the best of the sheep and the goats, the cattle, the fat calves. They picked the best ones, the cream of the crop, and the lambs. In fact, it says everything, in fact, that appealed to them. The ones that appealed to them, they saved and spared those along with the king. So that's what's happening here in this story. So let's look at verse 10. So 1 Samuel 15, verse 10. Then the Lord said to Samuel, he says, I'm sorry that I ever made Saul king. Wow. The Lord's having a regret. Don't be cause for regret to the heart of the Lord that he gave you, you know, a responsibility or a position or a role, or, you know, just as a child of God. Don't make him regret, right? He says, I'm sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul, went to talk to him. Someone told him Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Ooh, talk about pride. We got some pride going on here too from the last obstacle we talked about, right? That Saul went to this place in Carmel and he set up a monument to himself. Then he went on to Gilgal. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. May the Lord bless you, he said. I have carried out the Lord's command. Samuel's like, wait, really? I don't think so. Samuel says, then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle that I hear out there? You were supposed to kill them all, and I hear them out there. Samuel demanded. He said, it's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, the goats, and the cattle, Saul admitted. But they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord our God. We have destroyed everything else. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop. Like, I don't want to hear any more of this. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. "What did he tell you?" Saul asked. And Samuel told him, "Although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, 'Go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead.' Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul insisted. "I carried out the mission he gave me. Like, I killed them, I slaughtered them." But do you see the problem? He didn't kill all of them. He didn't really follow it. He didn't. "I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, the goats, the cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" Like, they thought, "Oh, we're doing God a favor here. We saved the best for him. We're going to give him our sacrifice." No, you didn't obey. You didn't bow down and worship him, with your obedience to follow everything that he told you to do. "Listen," he says, "obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. 23, rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft." I'll read it again. "Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols." There's a truth bomb, mic drop. Wow. "So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Then Saul submitted to Samuel. "Yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command." Here's the key. "For I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded." He's telling the truth here. He admitted that, yes, I disobeyed what the Lord's command was. And he tells the reason. He was afraid of the people, fear of man. "I was afraid of what they would say. I bowed down to their demands instead of what the Lord told me to do." Uh-oh. Big problem. Showstopper. God's plan gets halted then, right? God's plan. He's got to speak to somebody else, raise up somebody else, do something else to whatever, for what he wanted, the blessing that he wanted to get, it was stopped. There was a showstopper there because of Saul's disobedience. "Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols." Wow, that'll put the fear of God in you, won't it? Okay. This isn't supposed to be a downer message. So let's look at a positive example of overcoming fear of man. Mary and Joseph. Wow, Mary and Joseph, right? They endured the embarrassment of being, or Mary did, endured the embarrassment of being an unmarried, pregnant teenager in first century Israel. When we hear the story of, at Christmas time in that season of our Savior's birth, it's exciting and we rejoice in that story. But have you ever stopped to consider Mary and what all she went through? What people thought of her and what they must have said about her and said to her? Like, imagine the questions and the ridicule from people that knew her, from friends, from neighbors. "Wait a second, you're telling me that an angel got you pregnant with the Messiah? Like, I think you need to get your head checked out. I think maybe that's not quite right. Like, that sounds a little crazy town, Think about that. Fruit Loop, yeah. Wow. And not just then at that time, but all throughout her life. Seeing the death of Jesus. And the Pharisees brought it up. Wow. So with the Jewish law, a woman like that, unwed, she would be stoned, right? She would be stoned. That was the punishment that was due her. And Joseph also took a risk by stepping in to take the blame, right? To cover her, to keep her from being punished. So they both put their reputation on the line. They risked their lives to do and follow what God's plan was. They both willingly took on the shame of the transgression, that terrible sin, right? For the rest of their lives. And Joseph, unlike Mary, he didn't get to see the fulfillment of, you know, of Jesus, Jesus's resurrection on the cross. But both Mary and Joseph had to be willing to die to their understanding of, you know, wait, how are you going to do this? You're going to do what? And their reputation in order to carry out God's instructions. Can you imagine, have you ever thought about if they weren't willing? God probably would have found another way, right? But wow, look at the incredible blessing of God's plan that came to the world. The Word made flesh came to the world because Mary submitted and Joseph submitted. I don't care what people are going to say. It's going to be wild what they're going to say. They're going to shun me. They could stone me. But God, I just trust you. You're telling me this and I'm going to just trust you. Wow, let them be an example to us. So let's just look at that account there in Luke 1. Verse 28 through 38. So, you know, the angel appears to Mary, right? It says in this Luke 1:28, Gabriel appeared to her, to Mary, and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." It says, confused and disturbed. That was her own emotion, confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Can you imagine hearing that? She's a teenager. She's a young girl. She's hearing this. Wait, what? This overwhelming plan of God? This angel shows up and tells her this? Mary asked the angel. It's okay to ask questions when God's giving you a discussion, you know, giving you an instruction. Ask questions. Talk to him about it. "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." She was keeping her heart open, but she was asking, right? "How can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month." Verse 37, "For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant." Even if we have to ask God questions, let our end result be, you know, our conclusion with the Lord when he gives us an instruction that seems overwhelming or that you're not sure about how you're going to carry that out. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. That was her conclusion. She worked it through fairly quickly, I would say. Praise God. Let me learn from that, Lord. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. Like, I trust you. I'm here to serve you, whatever you will, Lord." Wow. That's impressive. That's praiseworthy. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's move on to another obstacle. So we talked about our understanding, submitting our understanding to the Lord. We talked about pride. We talked about, what did we just talk about? Fear of man. Thank you. Fear of man. And now let's talk about another potential showstopper, an obstacle that we must overcome: selfishness. The riches and cares of this life, my time, my agenda, my day, my car, my, you know, whatever. Putting our own needs before what God commands to do, or, you know, instructs you to do. Let's look at, we'll do the negative first, and I'll leave you with the positive, right? The rich young ruler, Matthew 19. We know about him, right? The rich young ruler in Matthew 19, starting at verse 16. Someone came to Jesus with this question: "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. And Jesus replied, "You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely." Verse 19, "Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." "I've obeyed all these commandments," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" Oh, he shouldn't ask that question, right? "I checked up all the boxes already, Lord." Jesus told him, well, he didn't call him Lord, right? He's Jesus. I don't know how he addressed him, but Jesus told him, verse 21, Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. He went away sad, like, well, I guess I'm not going to be able to follow that. He decided right then and there, pretty quickly, that he wanted his wealth, his possessions, his material things, more than to give it up and follow Jesus and experience the life that would follow with Jesus. Wow. It's not just about checking the boxes, going through, you know, following the commandments. He wants your whole heart. He wants all of you. He wants your life surrendered to him. We count the cost of following Jesus. And this man, he wasn't willing. He wasn't willing to give up his treasure. That's sad, right? So on the positive side, I'm going to share a personal story. When I was called to stay in Argentina, so I had gone to Argentina first to do, I knew that I was supposed to do, you know, have an experience and explore missions. So I went to Argentina knowing that it was a 5-month experience with Youth with a Mission, YWAM we call it. And it was 5 months, 3 months theory and 2 months outreach. And in the, you know, during the outreach phase, we're getting to the end of the 5 months, right? And all the students are asking each other, well, what are you going to do after? Like after the school, this missionary formation school time is done, what are you going to do? And I kept saying, because of this lie, I can't hear God. I kept saying, I don't know. I'm sort of in crisis. I don't know. But I did. I did know. It was so disguised in my heart because of the insecurity about hearing God's voice and the fear of failure, of making a mistake, that it was disguised with this confusion of like, well, I don't know. And I really felt like I didn't know. I remember the one day we were going somewhere and got in the back of a, you know, a taxi. And I was saying this to my leader. We were in a conversation and she, and I was like, I don't know. And she looked right at me and she said, you know exactly what the Lord's telling you. And I was like, oh my gosh, crumble up, right? But so we were on outreach and I was in the center province called Cordoba, and we were with a team, and there was a new leader that was pioneering a base, a YWAM base there in the center of the nation. And we were there, and we were serving with this leader and helping him do evangelism and all kinds of things and working with the churches there. And, you know, we, it was custom for the YWAM, we had our quiet time. So even on the outreach, we would all, like, you know, we have breakfast at a certain time or whatever, and we kind of have our schedule, and we'd have our quiet time, like our devotional time, our time with the Lord in his presence and reading his word, you know, everybody to their own. And then we had like a team meeting. So I spent that, whatever it was, an hour or how many, however long of time, arguing, not even arguing, telling the Lord why I was not going to stay in Argentina, why I was not going to, you know, serve him as a missionary full time. And I had it all worked out, and because, you know, I had a college degree and I was going to go back and make money and I was going to be with my family and, you know, speak the language that I know and, you know, all these things. All right. Close my Bible. It was a really productive time with the Lord, you know. And we get to the, you know, I told him, this is the way it's going to be, right? And then we get to our team meeting time. And, oh, man, these experiences, you know, they just, yeah, they put humility in me. And so the leader, we had a time of, you know, prayer together, and he's playing the guitar and singing and stuff, and then he begins to go around and sort of prophesy and give words to each person. Do you know what he said when he got to me? The Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God speaking through him. So gentle, the Holy Spirit said, Sarah, you are a woman of obedience. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just crumbled. It was like, I mean, I could have gotten scolded through the Spirit of God, you know, by the Spirit of God through him or something, because I just told God that whole time why, you know, my plan and my thoughts and what I was going to do and his plan was wrong. And the Holy Spirit just gently declared the opposite. He declared, no, actually, you're a woman of obedience. And I just was like, oh my gosh, like, okay, just crumbled. Like, can I hide under this table now? And nobody knew what my time with the Lord was like, but my heart knew it. They probably saw on my face, like, what just happened to her? What did he say? But it just unraveled me. It was the Spirit of God. He knows our hearts, right? And he just declared, no, you are a woman of obedience. Like, basically, I'm going to get the final word. So you thought you closed your Bible and left that, you know, devotional time with me, telling me who's boss. And then he just gently said, no, actually, you're a woman of obedience. You're going to obey, and I'm going to get my way. Wow. And even, yeah, there were other obstacles that I had to overcome, but that was, a large one was, I guess, just fear of making a mistake. What if I heard wrong? And leaving my comfort, which is selfishness, like we talked about with the rich young ruler. Thinking about, you know, my language, my culture, my carpet, because they don't have used carpet in Argentina, my remote control, my personal bedroom, because I shared a room with like 10 girls at different times, you know, my family, my convenience, my comfortable way of life, my salary, you know, all these things, and the list goes on. And I had to overcome those things. I had to lay those down, and I took a risk. I stepped out on what I felt then, you know, it just began to grow and grow. And, you know, my leader saying, you know exactly what he's telling you. You're just hiding under it, you know. I stepped out. I trusted. But even after I got there, I went home after that 5 month time and, you know, came back, and that was hard. I came back in the first 2-3 days, I cried. I spent those days crying because my heart wasn't fully, I was like, what did I do? You know, I'm here and oh my gosh. And I was just confused. And another leader said to me, I had such good discipleship there. She said to me, you better go. I'm done hearing your belly aching. Basically, go alone with God and you better get yourself an agreement, because for some reason you got on that airplane and you're here. And if you don't get yourself in your heart submitted to God and why he brought you here, then you're going to be miserable. And I don't want to hear you crying, basically. So go get yourself an agreement with God and then come back to me, she said. Like, that was the assignment. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so I did. But inside, I was still kind of carrying this, sort of martyr complex of like, I've given up so much and this is so hard and oh my gosh. And the Spirit of God, through a teacher that came to minister to the students in the school, and I was staff in the school, he prayed over me, and all I remember, I don't know if it was the first thing he said to me, but it just, man, he said, the Holy Spirit said, I didn't bring you here to suffer, to make you suffer, but rather to bring great blessing into your life. And it just unraveled me. It set me free, really. It set me free because I was just thinking, I'm just giving up so much and this is so hard. Blah, blah, blah. I didn't bring you here to suffer. And after I stayed, oh my gosh, I stayed 7 years, right? Serving as a full-time missionary, I saw like the fulfillment of that. You didn't bring me here to suffer, Lord. When he gives you an instruction, no matter how scary it might seem, no matter how overwhelming, he always wants to bring you blessing. He knows, he sees the plan. He's putting things into place in your life. And if you allow him and submit to him, it'll be an amazing story. And so I saw at the end, you brought me here, because 7 years, there was a lot of freedom that happened. I was a different person when I came home than when I went there. A lot of freedom. I'm not the same Sarah. And I tell stories and people are like, really? That was you? Yeah, that was me. But we all got to start somewhere, right? Who are we going to listen to? And are we willing to let go of our comfort zone, our riches, our remote control, our whatever, speaking our own language, whatever it is. That selfishness, those cares of this life, you know, are we willing? And all of those obstacles that we talked about, your pride, your own way of seeing it, your own understanding, and your reputation and what others think. And there's other obstacles that we could talk about too, unbelief and, you know, just fear in general of like leaving the comfort zone. But I will just, I'll conclude here. This verse, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Oh, I love this verse. This encourages my heart because he is searching. It says the eyes of the Lord search. He's looking the whole earth. What is he looking for? He's looking for somebody who's fully committed to him. And why? Because he wants to strengthen that one. So if your heart, even if you're scared, even if you don't know how, you know, but your heart is fully committed to him and you're surrendered and saying, God, I want to obey you. I want to hear your voice and I want to do what you're telling me because I know that your ways are higher than my ways. I know that your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Then he's looking. He's going to find you. Your heart, your spirit, his spirit's going to connect with yours. He's looking to strengthen you. That is good news. Somebody yell amen. Hallelujah. Right? So is your heart fully committed to him? Are you obeying what he speaks? Whether in a rhema revelation that comes to your heart or what he speaks to you in his written word. And trust him that if he speaks an instruction to you, he's leading you to blessing. He's not trying to punish you. He's not trying to make you suffer. He's trying to bring you healing and freedom. And this word promised, this word that we just looked at in 2 Chronicles, that he will strengthen you in that. It's like you saying, here I am. Here I am. My heart's fully committed to you. Strengthen me. Strengthen me. I need help, Lord. I want to do your will. Right? Strengthen me, Lord. So you following his lead is a part of his plan to not only bless you, but so that you can be a blessing. Other people's destinies depend on it. You obeying what the Lord has to do. He's got step by step a plan that just unfolds a whole life of blessing. And there's people behind that will or won't receive that blessing, right? Just think, you know, Pastor Harley shared some of his story last week, right? If Pastor Harley had not obeyed the Lord's instruction that he got at the end of his 40-day fast, you remember what it was that the Lord told him, go help Dr. Sumrall? What big question mark. If he hadn't obeyed that, maybe none of us would be here. Other, you know, yeah, it like there's people waiting. Other people's destinies depend on what you do with the Lord, right? Like none of us would be, maybe MFH wouldn't exist, and we that have found life and encountered Jesus here and freedom and through discipleship and all that we receive here, it just wouldn't be. Thank you for your obedience. Seriously, thank you. And there will be people that will thank you one day. Thank you for obeying. Because you will pour into their lives and they will say, if you hadn't obeyed, you know, all those times, it's like each time you surrender and say yes. Like I was doing a puzzle, jigsaw puzzle. I told this story sometime. I did a transition message about, you know, had this puzzle all out. And as I was picking up the pieces, it was like the Lord said to me, each time you pick up a piece and go to look to put it in, you're saying yes to me. Like, you don't maybe know, you know where this piece goes. And he directs my hand. I love doing puzzles, by the way. God speaks to me, so it's even more fun. But each time, yes. And I'm going to pick up another one. I don't know where this goes. And he leads me. Yes, I'm going to surrender and give you my yes each time. So I just want to quote this author, and I've been reading this book called Running on Empty by Mark Drake. And he says, so we put our trust in the one who not only knows the future, but he controls our future and he's weaving it all together for our eternal good. He has given us a faith history that demonstrates his faithfulness in the lives of thousands of his people over thousands of years of trials and tribulations for our good always. So surrender your understanding, your pride, your fear of man, your fear of failure, your fear of future, whatever fear, your selfishness, your comfort zone, and get on with his glorious plan. And I'll just end with 2 Chronicles 16:9 again. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. All right, so pray with me. Thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus' obedience on the cross. That he asked if there's any other way we can do this, Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know. But then he submitted his will and he said, not your, not my will, but yours be done. Thank you for Jesus' yes to the cross. Thank you that he was willing to overcome all the obstacles to say yes so that we could experience salvation and life and healing and freedom and redemption. Thank you for that, Father God. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us trust you, that you would help us first hear your voice. We want to hear your voice. We want to please your heart. And we can only do that by acting in faith, by trusting you and stepping out when we don't see the end result yet. Father, I submit my heart to you. I give you my yes, even when I don't understand and when it seems overwhelming. And I thank you that your eyes are searching the whole earth to find those whose hearts are fully committed to you, and then you promise to strengthen. So thank you for your strength coming to these ones who are fully committed to you. Strengthen their hearts in hearing your voice and obeying the instructions, Father, because we want to walk out your glory on this earth. We want to be a part of your amazing plan that you're doing. We don't want to get in the way. We say, yes, Lord. We trust you and we submit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping us. You promised to be with us to the end of the age. And you are. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's our helper. I thank you, Lord, that we can be overcomers, that we can overcome pride and our own understanding and fear and fear of man and selfishness. We can overcome all these things to just worship you through our obedience, through our decisions. Help us be a people that worship you in spirit and in truth and in all ways. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name today. We thank you for all those who have gone before us that have said yes to you, that have obeyed, and we've reaped the benefits, that we've received life and fruit from their ministry because they said yes in their difficult, hard moment, that they made it through the struggle. And they said yes, and they submitted and obeyed you. Thank you, Lord, for those people that shared Jesus with us. Because somewhere along the line, they had to wrestle through what you were asking them to do. And we've received from that. We've received your blessing. So, Father, help us so that we can be people that will pour into others. Not so that we can get thanked, but so that we are pleasing your heart. And at the end, you'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. That we know that we obeyed everything you told us to do. We thank you for covering us, Lord, in that. Cover us when we make mistakes, Lord. Strengthen us that we are a people whose hearts are fully committed to you and submitted to you. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you okay? Yes. Maybe it's good I didn't tell you the title. The title of the message is Death to Self. It's a little scary. I thought, I better not say that at the beginning. I might have some people run out or something. Death to self, a lesson in obedience. Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray for our live stream friends. And then don't go away, live stream friends, because we have a treat for you and those of you in-house. We're going to hear a testimony about from the sisters that went to Asbury Revival this week and what they experienced there and how they saw the Lord move. So that's going to be awesome. The cherry on the cake today. But so we just bless you if you are listening on the live stream, social media. In the name of Jesus, I declare blessing from on high over you. That his face shine upon you. Thank you, Jesus, for your face shining upon them today. That you strengthen them in all ways, in mind, in heart, in spirit, and in body. I thank you, Father God, for revelation, new revelation coming, jumping off the page and hitting their hearts, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they two will say yes. They will give you their yes. They will hear your voice and they will obey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are their good shepherd. You give them answers this week and direction by the power of your Holy Spirit for a victorious week in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.